Dear saints, we've come to the end of the season of Epiphany. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we've been talking about how Epiphany means manifest or revelation, so much so you're probably tired of hearing me say it. Because in Epiphany, Jesus has been about performing miracles, and he's revealing who he actually is. That he is an ordinary Jewish carpenter boy turned rabbi, but not only a Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. At the same time, he is the fullest of deity. He is true God in flesh and blood. As Jesus goes about and he healed the sick, he gave us an insight of what heaven looked like. He heals the blind. He casts out demons. These are all previews of a coming attraction. What life will be like someday in heaven when there is no sickness, there is no blindness, and there is no evil, because we will be present with our God in flesh and blood. Well, today, Jesus gives us the epiphany of epiphanies. He gives us a preview of who he is and what eternity with him might be like. Jesus gives Peter, James, and John, and us, a preview of his divine glory unveiled. Now, it wasn't as if Jesus, on this Mount of Transfiguration, suddenly got an extra burst of divinity, an extra power surge of godliness, but he is always God. But as Jesus walked around as a man, he walked around masking his true full glory. And he did that out of kindness and mercy. Because the raw glory of God for sinners is a fearful thing. This isn't the first time God has met us on a mountaintop in his full glory. We're reminded of the time God was visiting Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. And it was there that the Lord appeared in glory to reveal himself, where he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And listen from Exodus what that account went like. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord, and look, and many of them perish." When the Lord visits Mount Sinai, the people become terrified and they tremble. They see their leader, Moses, going up to the top of the mountain where there's thick clouds of smoke and fire and lightning and thunder. And that God had Moses warn the people not to get too close lest they perish. So they had reason to tremble. For if people who are sinful stand in the raw presence of God, they are struck down dead. Now, this is why Jesus veils his glory. Because if Jesus were to walk around all the time in the full majesty of true God, the people would not be able to withstand his presence on account of their own sin. This is the wonder of the incarnation. That God had that same God who appeared before Moses on Mount Sinai is the same God that enjoins himself to flesh and blood and is born of a Virgin Mary. And this is a profound mystery. John 1:14 says it this way, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. How could we see the glory of God? We're sinners, and we're sinners deserving temporal and eternal punishment. And yet it says we behold His glory. How could we behold His glory when the people of Mount Sinai weren't even allowed to cross the fence to Mount Sinai? It's because Jesus veils Himself so that His glory does not harm us. But on this day, on Mount Transfiguration, Jesus gives us a preview. Just a small glimpse of what His glory looks like. And what are Peter, James, and John doing at this moment? Sleeping. Of course they were. What did they go to the mountain to do? Well, they went there to pray. And the disciples are not known for their alertness while praying. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And as soon as they wake up, they come to, they see Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah. Peter comes up with an interesting suggestion. He says, "Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And we're not quite sure why Peter suggests this. In fact, we're told that not even Peter knew what he was saying. But the Greek word here for tent is the same kind of tent in the Old Testament that meant for tabernacle. In fact, it's the same word that John used when it said that the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. So it could be that Peter knew that this glory was a kind of dangerous glory, and that it should be contained in a safe place, into a tent, where it won't harm anyone. Just as God's glory was contained in the confines of the tabernacle of the Old Testament, and it was only the great high priest who would enter the Holy of Holies, Peter may have been thinking, we need to build some tabernacles to contain this glory. Now, one thing's for sure, Peter, James, and John were scared. They were terrified. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. The point of all of this is that Jesus may have veiled His full glory as God among the people for their protection, but at this moment, He reveals Himself and His glory to Peter, James, and John, and they become terrified because this was a fearful event. That is when the voice comes. The voice from heaven. The Father says, "This is My Son, My chosen one. Listen to Him." God calls Jesus the chosen one. Chosen for what? Maybe that's why at this mountain it's not just Jesus, but it's also Moses and Elijah. Because Jesus was chosen by God for a great work, and that had been made known throughout the Old Testament. That Moses represents the writings of the law, and Elijah represents the writings of the prophets. Both of which point forward to God's chosen one who will bring about redemption. So Psalm 2 says this, "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are My Son. Today I have begotten you.'" And also Isaiah 42 says, "Behold My servant whom I uphold, My chosen, in whom My soul delights." You see, Jesus was one that God had been promising from the very beginning. And with these three figures, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, as they get together, what do they do? What do these three figures talk about? This, I think, is the most amazing part of the passage. It says that they were all together on the mount, and it says that they were talking about His departure, which is about to take place in Jerusalem. The Greek literally says it was an exodus. They were talking about His exodus that is about to take place in Jerusalem. I suppose Moses could speak up and say, "I know something about a great exodus. saving people from their bondage. And that's what Jesus was about to do in Jerusalem. When these three figures get together on this mount, what they're talking about is the crucifixion of Jesus. They're talking about your salvation. Dear saints, I can't convey how marvelous this really is. That God in glory on a mountaintop, that he's not there warning the people to get back like he did before. The conversation here that is taking place is how God will save his people from their sins. It's a conversation of how much God loves you. And then he says this, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Listen to him. Listen as he tells you how much he loves you. Listen to him as he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Listen to him as he says that the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. The reason God the Father wants you to listen to Jesus is because he's revealing to you God's disposition toward you. He's revealing that God is not wrathful towards you because of your sin. No, instead, because of Jesus, because of the chosen one and his atoning work on the cross, Jesus is revealing to you how much he loves you. That there is, in fact, no reason to tremble before a holy and righteous God. Because Jesus has given you his righteousness and his holiness. We witnessed that this morning in the baptism with Rennie. And for all of you who are baptized, you that day received through water and the word the holiness and the perfection and the perfect obedience of Jesus credited to you. So if in holy baptism you are covered with the righteousness of Christ, you need not fear the holiness of God. In our gospel reading just read, Jesus appears in a high mountain in his glory. But that is not the mountain that Jesus finds his true glory. Rather, his true glory is found at Mount Calvary. Jesus finds his true glory when he is dying for you. Jesus' glory is on the cross. And we might ask, why? How can that be? How could anyone glory in suffering and agony? How is that possible? Well, it's possible because he's the chosen one, and that is what he came to do. He came to redeem you from your sins. And when Jesus is suffering on the cross for you, he is winning you back from sin and the devil, and he is securing your place in heaven. Not by what you've done, but by what he's done. And when Jesus is doing that, he's doing what he's been chosen to do. And that's his glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.